Father, as we come today, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will teach us more and more to base our expectations on what you have clearly promised in your word, and that that would be the basis for any and every expectation that we have in every area of our lives. You are a faithful God. You are a good God. And you have clearly laid out what your promises are concerning all of those who put their hope and their trust in you. So today, dear Lord, may we examine ourselves regarding our expectations. And if we have some that are unrealistic or that are causing us problems, dear Lord, that we may weed them out so that we may have expectations that are based on your word. These things we ask, and ask that you would use your word in us richly, individually, according to the need. For we ask it in the name of the one who bought us with his own blood, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Have a definition here at the beginning, most of what we'll be talking about today is under definition 4 in the Merriam-Webster. To consider probable or certain, expect to be forgiven, expect that things will improve. To consider reasonable, due, or necessary, expected hard work from the students. Or C, to consider bound in duty or obligated. They expect you to pay your bills. One thing about expectations is that we all have them. We have literally thousands of them. I very often will ask a young couple when I have them for premarital counseling what their expectations are. And every now and then I get kind of a blank look. And then we get into the whole issue. Expectations, I mean, my girlfriend loves me unconditionally. What expectations do I need to have, you know? But we all have them. Some of them are well known and stated and clearly enunciated, and we know what they are. Others, we're not even aware of. We only become aware of them when they're not met. And when they're not met, we get upset, and we get angry, and we get out of sorts. And so that's why today we're going to be talking a little bit about expectations. But we all have them, and that's our first point. So for you who like to do the notes or whatever, there's plenty of blanks to fill in today, I'll tell you that much. So if you like filling in blanks, you'll have some fun today. But let's just go through a few of our observations here. Number one, expectations are an integral part of life. We all have them in virtually every area of life. Even of inanimate things. You go out in the morning, you expect your car to start on the first try. So we have expectations in every single area of life. You turn the faucet, you expect to get some water. And if the water's off, you're a little upset about it. When you flip the switch, you expect the light to come on. And if it doesn't, you're a little upset about it. If you're a man and you open the refrigerator, you expect to find something good to snack on in there. I'm just giving examples, folks. But the point is, we all have expectations. My daddy told me many years ago about a relative of his who worked in the shoe store. And in those days, you actually had somebody who waited on you, and they came and they would show you the shoes, you know, and they'd go in the back room. How many remember that? And go in the back room, you know, and get them and bring them out, or go to the shelf and get them. And he said a lot of times ladies would come in and he said, well, what kind of style do you want? What general type? Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea. So he had a method that he did. He would go and get the most ridiculous, far-out thing he could find and bring it out and try it and say, how's that? Oh, no, 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 no. What I really want, and then they would tell him. See? We all have expectations, even if we don't know right up front what they all are. Sooner or later, something's going to happen, and you're going to find out what your expectation is. Number two. unmet expectations are at the root of much of the turmoil in our lives. And I look around me every day and I see this stuff every single day. And of course, this is a default. You always go to it because it's so true to life. But the person who cut you off in traffic, well, if you've been driving, and that's based on an expectation that they'll be courteous and do the right thing. That's right. And because they didn't, you're now very upset about it. But think about it. If you've been driving more than 6 months and you expect anybody out there to observe the rules of the road, tell me, is that a realistic expectation? But unmet expectations. Wife expects you to be home at 5, and if you're not there at 5, to at least call, and you forget. Unmet expectation. And you'll probably hear about it when you get home. And we can just go on and on and on. Our bosses have expectations. We'll get to that in a minute. All right, number 3. Expectations. Now, expectations aren't all bad, okay? We're not going there. Expectations can be A, reasonable, or unreasonable. And we've probably got some expectations we think are pretty reasonable. And our teenagers probably don't think they're all that reasonable. That's just another example. But what seems reasonable to me may not seem reasonable to you. But some expectations are reasonable. But we've probably all had reasonable expectations, and others have had reasonable expectations of us. We have probably all had unreasonable expectations at times of people in our lives, and others have probably had unreasonable expectations of us. And when others have unreasonable expectations of us, does it not upset us? Of course it does. B. Realistic or unrealistic? Sometimes it's not a matter of whether it's right or wrong. Oh, B, I'm sorry. B is right or wrong. And C is realistic or unrealistic. So expectations can be right or they can be wrong. And C, they can be realistic or they can be unrealistic. And like I said, sometimes it's not a matter of whether it's right or wrong. It's just a matter of whether it's realistic. And if you keep trying to insist on what is unrealistic, even though maybe in an ideal world your expectation would be considered reasonable, you're still setting yourself up for a whole lot of grief, disappointment, and heartache, needlessly. D, expectations can be based on reality or simply based on our own desires and preferences. And these are the ones that I think most frequently get us into trouble, both with others and even the Lord. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. Number 4, reasonable expectations of mentors, guardians, and leaders are legitimate. So there are plenty of legitimate expectations out there. The teacher expects you to do your homework. That is a reasonable expectation. Your boss at work expects you to be on time unless there's a really good reason for it. That is a reasonable expectation. And there are many that way. And expectations like that should be stated, should be known. And of course, if those particular stated, required expectations are not met, then there are consequences. And those are already known in advance, whether at work or in the classroom or in the home or wherever we may be. So those are not the main ones we are focusing on today. Number 5. To set our expectations on man is to set ourselves up for repeated disappointment. It is not for no reason that Jeremiah 17:5 says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." And as believers, one of the biggest problems that we have is that we trust in people instead of trusting in the Lord. How many have learned that man, meaning in the general sense, will ultimately almost always come up short and disappoint? And so we need to have our hopes fixed on the Lord. Our expectations need to be fixed on the Lord. The Lord is the one who can guide my way and light my way. The Lord is the one who can work things out. It doesn't mean that it isn't okay to have some expectations in some areas. It just means that we know as a fact of life, both from a fact of life that we observe and also from the Word of God, that man, even the people we care about and love the most, will ultimately let us down sometime, some way, in some area of our lives. It does not mean they are not, as we say, a good person. It does not mean we write them out of our lives. It just means that they're frail, they're not perfect, and they don't even always understand what our expectation is, and sometimes disappointed, even unbeknownst to themselves. But the point is, our expectations of people will never be met in full. It is a rare thing. And again, if we're over 20 years old, we need to know that. We need to accept that. We need to know that that is a fact of life, lest we go through life continuing this useless exercise of unrealistic expectations or of getting disappointed all over again every time somebody comes up short. If somebody comes up short, we deal with it, we correct it, we may talk about it, we may talk about why this was not a good thing to do and why we really don't want this to happen the next time, and then we move on. But we don't go around all bent out of shape because so-and-so was going to do so-and-so and they didn't do it. Number six. To have unscriptural expectations of God is to set ourselves up for anger, resentment, and disillusion. We need to learn the Word of God. We need to know what God promises. And then we need to have very, 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 very firm expectations based on those promises. But if it isn't promised explicitly, then we should not have an expectation in that area. And when we have unrealistic expectations of the Almighty, we get just as bent out of shape, just as angry, and just out of sorts. Sometimes more so, because after all, isn't he supposed to be perfect? And if he was perfect, he would know what I want and how disappointed I am. My daddy told a story many years ago when they were in Lower Alabama, and the lady's mother was deathly ill, very, very sick, and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And one day she went around and she started telling people. She said, "God spoke to me. God spoke to my heart, and God told me that he's going to visit my mother tonight at midnight. I know that she's going to be healed tonight at midnight." That night at midnight, she went home to be with the Lord. And that woman got bitter, and that woman got cynical, and wrote the Lord out of her life. Yes, the Lord visited her. And he took her out of her pain, and he took her out of her misery, and he took her to that beautiful place we dream of, and sing of, and pray about, and everything else. But this lady's expectation was he's going to heal her here and now. Now, we may not have gone to that extreme, but how many times have we had an expectation of the Lord, and because the Lord didn't do it exactly like we thought it was going to be, at least for a time, we were a little bit miffed with it. Ever happened? And no further real growth can happen in our Christian lives as long as we're mad at God. David Wilkerson wrote a little book one time. He wrote many books called I'm Not Mad at God. And the opening story in it is about a pastor father who accidentally, because he did not see him, backed over his own little boy and killed him. And after that, the pastor was trying extra hard, and he was working even harder, and he was neglecting his family, and he was pouring himself into the work of God. But the underlying problem is, God must be mad with me, therefore I can't upset the Lord, so I'm going to work even harder in the gospel than I did before. But then under that, see, there's a misunderstanding about the Lord. There's a misunderstanding about the Almighty. And it brings a separation. Lord, help us. I read the scripture. It says that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How many have read that verse? How many believe that verse? Is it okay to have an expectation about that verse? Is there a verse that says, once you become a Christian, once you accept Jesus as Savior, everything is going to be smooth sailing and you're not going to have any more problems? Has anybody seen that verse? That verse doesn't exist. And that would be an unreasonable expectation. Now, again, we don't go to that extreme, but we do in specific instances sometimes. And every single time. Because the Lord isn't going to violate his own plan just to accommodate me. Sorry. He loves me. He loves me more than anybody else loves me. But he's not going to change his plan just to accommodate me. He wants me to get to know him and trust him enough that even when I don't understand, I say, Lord, as long as it's you doing it, I'm okay with it. That's where he wants to get us. And that's the right expectation. Number 7, if our expectations are in line with God's word, we will experience a harvest of peace and joy and manifold blessings. Because I am here to tell you today that every promise in the book, remember the old song, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. What's the next line? Something divine. mine, Jesus is mine. But anyway, not only is every promise in the book mine, every promise in the book is 100% true, 100% trustworthy, and you can stand on it. And did we not used to sing a song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King? Now that you can do. Well, is that what we're singing? See, I didn't know it. I didn't know it. See, we're getting ready to sing it. That is a proper expectation. I'm getting goosebumps up here, folks. Whew! But see, if our expectations are based on God's word, we can't go wrong. All the expectations that get us into trouble are because somewhere along the way, they're not in line with the word of God. So, number 8, may all our expectations be rooted in God's promises and based on the principles of his word. Little song, some of you possibly have heard it, written in 1919, 94 years ago. The words by Annie J. Flint, the music by William M. Runyon. And it kind of puts this thing into perspective. I have this on vinyl somewhere by a couple of preacher men. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our life through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God has promised, what is it? Strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. That he has promised. And that we can bank on. Shall we pray? Father, you truly are a kind Heavenly Father. A lot of times, we look back 20 years later and we see how kind you were in a situation where at the time we thought you were unkind or had forgotten us or weren't listening or didn't care. But you are a faithful God. And we thank you for it. Help us, Lord, to be realistic in our expectations, both of you and of the people around us. Help us to understand we can trust you fully, and that those around us are sometimes not intentionally, just a little flawed, and we all are. But Lord, help us to set our expectations based on scriptural principles and on the things of your word, because those things will never fail us. Those things will always be there, and we will never make a mistake by holding to them, no matter how rough things get. So we thank you today, and thank you that we have that expectation of heaven, and it's not based on our goodness. It's not based on we were this or we were that. It's based on what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And because it's a finished and perfect work, we have that hope and we have that expectation. But thank you that you have promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. You have promised to guide us by your Spirit. You have promised to uphold us in our trials, and we thank you. Guide us now, Lord, we pray, daily. And may these types of things help us to enjoy a better relationship with you and with the people around us, and to have a better level of peace than we've ever enjoyed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.